Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant at the G, yo, and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Okay. Yeah. On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Rockets last night, if you want to weigh in on that one, 114-112 over the Boston Celtics. The big takeaway we all must agree on coming out of that game: Houston, we have a star. So if you want to chime in on that, you can. And also, it seems like the Astros are not going after Alex Bregman. They are more focused on Jorge Polanco for now. We'll see if possibly washed Scott Boras comes back with perhaps a slightly more palatable deal that the Astros should offer Alex Bregman. Not going to lie, though, and again, baseball casual Paul here. If the Astros get rid of Ryan Presley to save, doing math, $5.5 million against the salary, because there were three over the luxury tax, I'm sorry, Jorge Polanco ain't floating my boat.
Yeah, he doesn't exactly get the juices flowing for you, Paul. Like, he doesn't get you excited. No, deep steel or deep red pills or whatever the Astros colors are, deep navy blue pills for Jorge Polanco being your opening day second baseman slash backup shortstop.
No.
Yeah, it doesn't feel it either. I also just, at this point, the Alex Bregman stuff, it almost feels like a dying story. Because it's hard to know what's out there. Like, are the Red Sox, Tigers, these teams, are they just offering like 2-year deals worth a lot more money, but the Astros are the only one offering long-term deals? Like, it's hard to tell what's going on with Alex. I'm curious, like, what gets reported on today, because I'm sure we'll get something after this supposed conversation that's going to happen with Scott Boras, because it's unclear what these other teams are offering. Like, I know there's one other team from a report yesterday that also has a 6-year deal on the table with an opt-out after the first year.
Right.
That's all we know.
That's it.
So we don't know, like, if Alex wants a 6-year deal where on average he's paid $30 million a year, or if he's looking, or if he would accept the same deal that's on the table right now.
So that's the latest on the Astros. And again, you want to weigh on the Rockets game, you can. Astros, same thing. The Texans offensive coordinator search has continued. We will get to some very interesting comments about Bobby Slowik in a bit, but I wanted to start with the most recent news. First off, per Jonathan Jones of CBS Sports, Chip Kelly is a target. He is at the top of their list, but unclear in this report if Chip Kelly and the Texans have mutual interest. Kelly is considered a target for both the Jaguars and Texans offensive coordinator positions. He also could get looks in Tampa Bay. Kelly won the national title with Ohio State, but he's kept an interest in the NFL for years, including last year when his name was tossed around the league following his UCLA tenure and before he went to Columbus to be with Ohio State. Sources indicated the Jaguars had interest in pairing new head coach Liam Cohen with Kelly. We'll talk about Cohen tomorrow. Good God. Cohen is thought to be a play-calling head coach, so it's unclear how involved Kelly would be in calling the plays in-game should that match come to fruition. But after the Texans fired offensive coordinator Bobby Slowik following 2 years in that role, sources pointed to Kelly as a logical successor. He was D'Amico Ryans' head coach when Ryans was playing linebacker for the Eagles in Philly, and they would call the offensive plays without interference, considering the head coach comes from the defensive background. Here is, at his introductory press conference to mark the beginning of the D'Amico Ryans era in Houston in 2024, very early in, wait, 2023, here is D'Amico Ryans talking about Chip Kelly.
And with Coach Chip Kelly, what I learned from him, he was a master motivator, but he was also an innovator. And Chip Kelly, he didn't waste, he was always on the cutting edge, right? Always looking for ways to get better with sports science, technology. And I take things that I learned from all these men, and that's how I feel like you build an organization, right? You build a first-class
So that is D'Amico talking about the Chip Kelly effect.
I think it's the perfect hire for D'Amico. You think about the innovation, like what they've done. I mean, look what Ohio State's done with really good college quarterbacks. None of these offensive coordinators, Ryan Day, they couldn't get the offense there. It was Chip Kelly who was the guy that got Ohio State into the championship, you know, to win a championship this year. Like, Ryan Day came up short time and time again. And Chip Kelly, if he's interested, which is, like, it's very unclear. There's a lot of assumptions being made that because of his past interest, he's still interested in this one. I mean, we haven't seen anything about an interview request, an interview completed. And the Texans, my understanding is they now could, they've now completed the Rooney Rule, like, requirements for offensive coordinator, because it's a little bit different than the head coach. So, again, in theory, like, they could interview Chip Kelly today and hire him. They don't even have to interview him at this point, technically, if they wanted to. But it still makes the most sense to me that's the guy, because you have someone that has head coach experience, which is something that D'Amico Ryans lacks on his staff. So, like, any in terms of just, like, game playing, all of it, Chip Kelly knows all about it. You can give him full control of the offense. He doesn't have to answer to D'Amico Ryans. He can work in conjunction with D'Amico. I think it's the right hire.
I think CJ also would like working with a guy who has pelts on the wall. More on that later. Other updates. Gerard Johnson's getting an interview this week. He's the Texans' current quarterback coach. Seems interest from the New York Jets has cooled off on him. It also seems like it has cooled off on Nick Caley, who you might know as the Rams passing game coordinator and somebody who has ties with Nick Caserio from their time together with the Patriots, and also the fact that they both went to the same school, John Carroll University. Former Lions passing game coordinator Tanner Engstrand is firmly on the radar of Jets coach Aaron Glenn for the offensive coordinator, and many league sources expressed confidence he will land the job. If I'm a betting man, as I said yesterday, Nick Caley, I think, is going to end up being the hire. But there is a new wrinkle in the equation, because yesterday, the Houston Texans, and maybe it was Joe Dunn to check off that Rooney Rule qualification, although they also are interviewing Gerard Johnson, they interviewed Syracuse offensive coordinator Jeff Nixon, something I never thought I would ever hear. The offensive coordinator at Syracuse University getting a look in the NFL. I know that Doug Marone, who was head coach of the Cuse back in the day, ends up getting the Jaguars gig, and they went to an AFC championship and all, which was surprising that he left because he was a Syracuse player back in the day. Syracuse don't have that much money. But I was shocked to see that. And what's more, selfishly, as a Syracuse fan, I do not want him to leave.
Okay.
I think this would not be the worst decision. Hard to make predictions based off of what a guy does at the ACC, but as laid out by Sam Warren of the Houston Chronicle, who also happens to be a Cuse guy like myself, Syracuse was so good at getting the ball out quickly in an offense that threw over and over and over again, figured out how to distribute the wealth. And what I noticed while watching the games that they played this past season, they won 10 games, and I watched about 75% of those games. It's one of the best seasons they've ever had. They were really good at spamming things that worked over and over and over and over and over again, daring defenses. Hey, dumbass, you can't stop me. Try to stop me. Which is something Bobby Slowick wouldn't do. Bobby Slowick got cute a lot. Mm-hmm. But the really good offenses in the NFL these days, what they do is they run the same bleep over and over and over again from different looks until you can actually figure out a way to stop it. And one thing that Syracuse in particular really liked doing was throwing back shoulder fades to wide receivers. Nico Collins, I think, would like that. It was automatic. Could have been McCord. It could have been the Syracuse receivers. But this was a team that got the ball out quickly and that figured out how to make a really impressive passing attack. So at the very least, having a conversation with the guy, I think, is a good move. And selfishly, I don't want the Texans to take him away from my alma mater.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, you think about like Kyle McCord, like what he was. I mean, this is a guy who Ohio State dumped, who ends up at Syracuse. He has an incredible year. You talk about like wide receivers. Like, it's not like Syracuse wide receivers are going to be lining up to go into the NFL. And not that the ACC is some great conference. I like it. It's interesting. I mean, it wouldn't be the top of my list for sure.
Definitely not the top of my list either. All I'm saying is I like that they talked to him.
But he has NFL experience. He was the offensive coordinator. I don't think he called plays in Carolina because he replaced Joe Brady when Joe Brady got fired. So he has real NFL experience. Like, if you look at it, he's done the back and forth between college and the NFL. He would have been in Philadelphia during Andy Reid's tenure, I believe, from what? So he was there from 07 to 2010. That would have been like the end of Andy Reid, I think, from Philadelphia.
So he's part of the Andy Reid coaching tree?
Yeah. So he's got quite a good amount of experience. He was in Miami for a handful of years. So he's not just a college coach. I'm intrigued, is the way I would put it.
Yeah, he coached in the NFL from 2006 through 2016. So, and then again from 2020 through 2023 with a variety of different teams. All I'll say is he's done a good job there. He's been in the league a while, and as you brought up, he's been around some good people to be around when you're a coach. So are they going to make that the move? I don't know. Honestly, I think what's more interesting is the fallout of the firing of Bobby Slowik. And for those who did not listen to John and Lance on Monday, you missed out because Lance Zierlein, who we all know is very connected in draft circles, had some really interesting things to say, Joe, about the way things started between Bobby Slowik and CJ Stroud and how they progressed.
Yeah, it seems like didn't start off very well.
Definitely did not start off very well.
No. Here's Lance yesterday talking about the story he had heard and finally being able to tell it now that Bobby Slowik is no longer going to be fired, about C.J. Stroud and Bobby Slowik's very first interaction.
C.J. Stroud came to visit the Texans. I was just doing draft research on C.J. Stroud. It wasn't a Texan or anything. I told you guys the story about he and maybe you didn't hear me. He and Bobby Slowik had a run-in before the draft. So what happened was, I'll tell you the whole thing now that Slowik's gone. C.J. Stroud came to visit the Texans, and Bobby Slowik was telling him, okay, they were watching stuff on tape. Now, before I tell you this, when C.J. was at Ohio State, he really didn't talk to the O.C. at all. That's not his guy. He didn't think he knew ball. This coming from somebody who knows C.J. intimately. He didn't think the offense coordinator was very smart. So he would only talk to Ryan Day. Ryan Day was the guy who had to communicate with C.J., which I didn't love that. Honestly, before the draft process, and it played into some of my thoughts on CJ in terms of coachability, he said he didn't know ball. Ryan Day's my guy, and so I'm going to listen to Ryan Day. You know, and what I heard was that his communication was Ryan Day and not the offense coordinator. Okay, well, that's a little strange, but whatever. He comes into Houston. Bobby Slowik is trying to tell him some stuff, and they're And CJ just says, oh, yeah, we call this, you know, whatever, XY switch, whatever it would be at Ohio State. And apparently maybe it happened a couple times, and Bobby Slowik just kind of jumped him and said, I don't give a what you call it, Ohio State. That's college. This is pro football. And Bobby kind of got in his face about it, you know. And CJ's not one to back down at all. And CJ, and I don't know if Bobby was testing him or I don't know what the deal was, but CJ jumped up and got back in his face. And it was very contentious. It had to be kind of broken up. And so when CJ went to his next, he went to his next draft meeting, and I talked to the team where CJ went. He went to his next draft meeting, and because I asked his team, hey, have you heard anything about this with CJ Stroud? And they said, oh, we asked CJ how his last visit went, which was Houston. He said, terrible, terrible. I don't think I'll be going there. And people who trained, like CJ's whole crew, did not want him to go to Houston. And they didn't think he was going to Houston because it was he and Bobby got into it.
Very interesting stuff. Let's go through it all.
Yeah.
First off, so considering they're supposedly interested in Chip Kelly, hearing that CJ Stroud maybe listens to certain coaches over other coaches, that is a reason to go after Chip Kelly over anybody else, especially considering this is a coaching staff that is pretty damn inexperienced. Like, who do you point to and say, like, this guy's been around for a while?
I mean, I guess Bill Lazor.
Right.
But, like, exactly. But like, that's not like a, like, oh, he had like a Jay Cutler's best regular season ever.
No, that's
like, that doesn't mean anything.
That's not a celebrity coach. And okay, like, that might be something to keep in mind to get the absolute most out of your quarterback. Because let's all be honest. When you look at Bobby Slowick, who isn't much bigger than me, if he even is, you look at his face, just gut reaction. If you're a football player, and if you see that face, that face is going to have to earn your respect. Let's just be perfectly honest.
Mm-hmm.
He's a kind of dorky-looking white guy. I'm not saying he's as dorky as Benjamin Solak, you know, who's getting absolutely destroyed for some dumbassery that he had online. About effing time. I would say Ryan Leaf, tone it down a little bit.
It's killing
said,
him.
Like, Ryan Leaf said his address should be put out. So, because, whatever. There's a play where Josh Allen, in the AFC Championship game, the 4th and 5, Ben Solak, who's this little dweeb online, said that Allen should have thrown it to a guy that there's no way he could have seen just given the pressure. And he got crushed for it, finally. It's been about time that somebody crushes him for his takes. But Ryan Leaf said, let's find his address and go kill him, essentially. Like, it was basically that. No, Sean's laughing. You're like, go look it up. It basically was like, this guy's address needs to be put out so that people teach him what's what. But there's a lot of people like that in football. And I think that Bobby Slowick suffers from a very sad condition that some football coaches have. He suffers from non-football guy appearance. If you have non-football guy appearance, you really have to be essentially the smartest football mind there's ever been. He is a young guy who is skinny. Like, he's not like Mike McCarthy and Chip Kelly who have honestly turned into like orange of spheres, you know?
Mm.
Sorry to shame appearances, but let's just call it what it is. Like, if I were to get into CJ Stroud's face over effing terminology, and I believe that story because it's been confirmed by some other people online who have also heard the same story, and also Lance knows all these draft people. If I'm CJ Stroud and a guy who looks like that is getting in my face over something as like non-important as terminology, I too would get back in his face, and I would hope that my quarterback would get back in the dweeb's face and say, F off, dude.
Yes, but the arrogance of CJ Stroud, I don't love it. And then we heard that before. Like that's something that like Lance talking about there was talked about a lot about the Brian Hartline issues at Ohio State, and that it was, you know, Ryan Day was like CJ not wanting to talk to his offensive coordinator. Well, like,
what are the Brian Hartline issues, just for those who don't know?
That he didn't respect him. That he wanted to talk, like Lance said, he only wanted to talk to Ryan Day.
So that's the Brian Hartline issue. Yeah. Stroud didn't respect Hartline.
Yeah. Okay. And
I wanted to clarify.
I get it. And, you know, Bobby Slowick, like, maybe you don't respect him either, but it's just like every time CJ Stroud has a bad year, he's just going to not respect his offensive coordinator and only want to talk to someone he respects. Like, are you just going to have to fire DeMeco at some point and hire Ryan Day? Because that's the only guy that CJ respects.
Is Ryan Day the next head coach of the Texans?
Like, I don't love it. Like, I don't love the arrogance from a, you know, 21-year-old kid to say he's only going to listen to certain people.
I got
to
say, though, like, maybe I'd keep it to myself, but I'm looking at Bobby Slowick, and this guy's getting into me. I'm assuming CJ Stroud did a little homework before his meeting with them.
For sure.
And I'm looking at that guy with a side eye.
Yeah, no.
No offense to Bobby Slowick. You can't control the way you look, but
he looks like a loser. Like, sorry, Bobby.
Whoa.
You're just not saying it.
No, I'm saying he has non-football guy appearance. Like, you have to overcome that.
Yeah.
This is a real thing.
No, Christopher Soriano says on the YouTube, is that what's wrong with Mike McDaniel? Yeah, I think a lot of times, like, people wonder, like, what's going on in Miami?
Because,
like,
McDaniel had that in his back pocket, and now people are like, is he actually that good of an offensive mind? So now, like, oh, all of his cutesy sayings and vaping on the sideline, it's a little less cute. So,
yeah.
I think there's a lot of coaches in the league that have to overcome that. Brandon Staley, everyone thought he was a Mensa. And then a couple of years in, there's just a certain look that I feel like it just lends itself to obstacles for you theoretically being the most respected coach right away. You can earn that respect, no denying that. And from the sound of things, it seemed like Stroud and Slug buried the hatchet when Stroud eventually got here.
But like to think that like it went so bad that they didn't think Houston was going to draft him. And then that Houston did is also interesting because that kind of – Lance is obviously not saying this, but there was a lot of reports going on that this was a McNair decision to draft C.J. Stroud. And it was Will Anderson that was really who was wanted by people in the front office.
From the few things that were leaked, it did feel there's a chance the Texans, knowing that people don't give a bleep, because Hannah McNair actually has a pulse on how people feel about this team in this town. I thought there's a chance that they pressured the Texans into taking a quarterback with one of those two picks. Screw it, let's just trade up. And it has worked. Like they to this point, and I know Bryce Young had a very good second year, and Stroud took a step back this past season. But, I mean, it's worked out. But, yeah, it totally feels like there's a part of that. And, you know, as I was listening to that conversation continue, Lance also brought up the point that, like, this is an ownership group that, being as aware as they are of how people feel about them, I mean, they probably heard everyone talking about Bobby Slowick and how poorly this offense was doing. And they felt, oh, well, we got to do something here, even if this isn't necessarily the fix. But
no, but then you have the Aaron Wilson report that says they talked to the players and D'Amico was weary of what was going on. And it just kind of feels like everyone was on the same page that they can improve from Bobby Slowick, like we all think, and they're going to try to do that. That still was the right move.
I agree. And, you know, this is what happens when a guy gets fired. I know a lot of people get frustrated with this in sports journalism, where when some player gets fired, all the knives come out when the body is already cold. And that's when they pile on. But I'll admit, and since I heard it secondhand, like I'm not going to go on record with it, but this isn't even the craziest Bobby Slowick story that I've heard in the last 2 days. I mean, I've heard a crazier one. And so I understand why the players might have been out on him. And just to bring it back to my original take, yeah, if you have non-football guy appearance, like, you almost have to be perfect. And when there's a good quarterback and good receivers and a good running back and supposedly great offensive linemen and things aren't working, who are they going to look at? They're going to look at the kind of dweeby guy who maybe has moments off the field where people are already looking at him with a side eye.
And that's why bringing in a coach like Chip Kelly makes a ton of sense. Someone that is so well respected. Like, yes, he was not a great head coach in the NFL, but his offenses were incredible. Even his last year in San Francisco, like, he had a good offense, and it was just the rest of the team around it was a disaster. But, and I know this was, you know, it'll be 12 years since this happened. But this is the guy who led Nick Foles to 27 touchdowns and 2 interceptions. This is the guy who like was like the innovator in college football, and it worked in the NFL.
And in the NFL, right.
Yeah, and I mean, bunch of different stops.
Defenses were exhausted, and that was the big issue for those Eagles teams, is that like defensively, because the offense was sometimes on the field for basically 2 seconds, like over the course of a game when your defense is playing a full game's worth of plays more than every other defense in the league, it does add up. But of all the guys, like, if the Texans want to make people excited, which I think is always a part of their agenda, offering stupid money to Chip Kelly is the way.
Yeah. Can I ask you, after hearing that clip, does your perspective change about C.J. Stroud's involvement and who the next OC should be? That, like, if respect and acknowledgement of football acumen is that important to C.J. Stroud, like, going back to Ohio State and then what happened in that first meeting with Bobby Slowick, like, you have to bring in someone that C.J. has immense respect for. It feels like that – not saying he should determine who he hires, but, like, it does feel like it weighs a little bit maybe on the hiring process.
It's certainly a factor you have to have in the back of your mind. And this is not to say, like, hey, because I still think, no, as soon as you start bending over backwards for your players, that's where you run into trouble. And we've seen that too many times recently with Houston sports, with Deshaun Watson and with James Harden. But to what you're saying, yeah, you do have to keep it in the back of your mind. And I think you have to think from a common sense perspective, who is out there that if we bring in, we know Stroud's going to respect from the get-go, even if maybe the relationship wanes over time. At first, who is he going to look at and say, yeah, and believe before we actually see any plays? Because like right now, that you've got a period of, 8 months before we actually see Stroud and whatever new offensive coordinator in a game.
Mm-hmm.
And then they actually figure out, oh, if this was the right hire or not. And I think you want to get off on the best possible foot. And when you got a coaching staff that features so many green guys, you know, like Nick Caley's a person I feel like is the most likely to get hired, because I don't know if the Texans are going to pony up like, I don't know, $5-6 million to try to get Chip Kelly to be a coordinator or whatever the top dollar is for coordinator money in the NFL. But what's Kelly making at Ohio State? Like $3 million or something like that?
He's making two.
Two, okay.
This past year he made two.
He made two this past year. Okay. I mean, that's a lot for coordinators.
Yeah,
that is. It was funny. He was the second highest paid coordinator on his team because the defensive coordinator was getting like 2.5.
Yeah.
Now he went to Penn State for 3. So I imagine that you're probably going to have to start at 2.5, 3 to get Kelly out of Ohio State. I'd imagine.
Cool. Do it.
They got money.
They do. This is the test of what. Paul, you always bring up that this is not a cheap organization. Like, they will pay top dollar for what they believe is top dollar, you know, talent. It's just this is another level, and he actually has to like want the job.
If they want a deep steel blue pill, the city of Houston, this is what they do.
Yeah,
and I mean, it'll be Pantstown City.
Oh,
no disrespect to Jeff Nixon or
exactly
Nick Caley,
right.
Yeah, like I don't like people get like it doesn't get the people going.
What? They got Jeff Nixon?
And people are gonna go, who?
Right.
And Paul's gonna be crying about
it. I'll be upset. Syracuse won't be like that. Syracuse is of all my football teams. Syracuse is the only good one. Although Florida had a nice end of the year.
Has Bobby Sloak ever coached in college? Because maybe we can just do an offensive coordinator swap with Syracuse.
I'll kill you.
I mean,
I'll kill you. Not really. Like I won't do that.
You're not. We're gonna
not Ryan Leaf,
right? Not Ryan Leaf.
I think we're gonna, maybe in case you missed it, like more deep dive on that.
I saw the Ryan Fitzpatrick one, and at first I thought, Ryan Fitzpatrick was respectful.
He was very nice,
but set him straight.
The thing is,
Ryan Leaf being like, let's find this guy.
And again, this is a little bit too inside baseball because I think most people have no idea who the hell Ben Solak is. All I'm saying is Ben Solak seems like he's a very nice guy, and he is enthusiastic about football, and he does cover it with a passion. But my God, he's so insufferable. He just is really insufferable.
Yeah,
he's like a really yappy dog.
He posted the dots of the last play for the Bills, and he was like, well, when Josh Allen got blitzed within a quarter of a second.
Yes.
And he was and started rolling to his right, and he was like, why didn't he throw it to Shakir, who was on his left?
Right, exactly. It was crazy.
It's like,
crazy.
You watch the game, and you're like, it's impossible for him to do that.
Sean Mapes behind the glass, Joe George to my right, I'm Paul Gallant. Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Hopefully, you are now feeling abreast of the Texans' offensive coordinator situation. Up next, it's the 10-minute drill, and we do have to make fun of the Dallas Cowboys. But if you want to weigh in on the Rockets' huge win over the Celtics, you can. 713-780-3776 to call to text on YouTube at ESPN Houston, Twitch at ESPN 97.5. It's Gallant and George. Stay put.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Dad, hush.
Tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Paul Gallant and Joe George. The 10-minute drill starts now.
Football time.
All right, baby. Football. Hell yeah. So, we're going to do a full segment on the Dallas Cowboys. But they introduced Brian Schottenheimer at their press conference yesterday. It was an hour-long ordeal. I didn't want to watch the whole thing.
An hour.
So I texted RJ Ochoa, who does a very good job covering the Cowboys online. I was like, hey, like, What's good? What's bad here? I just want to play Brian Schottenheimer and Jerry Jones talking about winning a Super Bowl.
We're going to win. And we're going to win a championship. Otherwise, why are we doing it? I'm really good with X's and O's, but I'm great with people. And the type of men that we have in this locker room are excited about that.
I know how much our fans are into the Dallas Cowboys. They're interested. I'm interested in getting to those playoffs and winning. This is the best way that we can go to the playoffs and win.
The best way. Hiring the offensive coordinator of the coach you fired.
Again, as said by my Cowboy fan friends to me on Saturday, we're just waiting for Jerry to go. Patiently.
I don't
respectfully,
know.
Of course.
To be honest with you, good luck to them. I hope that works out for them. But I hear everything he said. From Cowboys fans, they don't seem to love Stephen Jones either.
Stephen Jones might have had the worst press conference of all, and we're going to do a whole Cowboys segment in a moment, but Stephen Jones was doing everything in air quotes for the entirety of the press conference, and he was using air quotes to describe things that all Cowboys fans who have eyeballs realize are huge problems for this team. He said championship drought in quotation marks. What an a-hole.
I just don't know if he understands what the quotation marks mean and what air quotes are.
And that's what RJ Ochoa brought up. I don't think he knows what quotation marks mean either. I really don't. When you're using it like that, it is done in a sarcastic manner. So, something to keep in mind going forward. Aaron Glenn, also introduced as head coach of the New York Jets yesterday. As far as press conferences go, I feel like he did a very good job. Here is the leader of the New York Jets with the kind of line that comes straight out of an action movie or from back in the day from Rex Ryan.
Players that's here now, put your seatbelts on and get ready for the ride. Put your seatbelts on and get ready for the ride. Listen, there are going to be some challenges, but with challenges becomes opportunity, gets opportunity. But here's what I do know. We're the freaking New York Jets, so we're built for this. Listen, I want this job. I interviewed for a number of them, but I wanted this job.
Now, hard to take anyone seriously who says we're the New York Jets and we're built for this bleep. No, you're built for the bleep because you always find yourself in bleep.
I laughed at the media react. Oh, ooh, yeah, or whatever that was. Like,
I'm sure that there were some Jet teammates in the past, maybe, of Aaron Glenn there. Because Glenn did play for the Jets before the Texans drafted him in the expansion draft of 2002. He was a very good player for the New York Jets, too.
Yes.
But there also probably were some Jet media folks who smirked and they're like, my job's going to be fun the next couple of years. Instead of Robert Saleh and crows pecking at necks, I have somebody who just feels a little more authentic at the podium.
Yeah, I think both Ben Johnson and Aaron Glenn, like, you could tell, like, being in Detroit, like, kind of rubbed off on them a little bit. Like, getting some, like, some Dan Campbell kind of vibes from that quote. Like, it's not biting kneecaps.
I see
but
that.
Like, but, like, built for it, like, feels very, very similar.
Put your seatbelts on. We're the New York Jets.
You lose all the time.
We're built for this.
Haven't made the playoffs in 15 years.
But we're built for this.
You're the New York Jets.
Aaron Glenn was on the last Jets team that made the playoffs. He wasn't.
I hope it works out for him.
I do like him.
Yeah, but it's the Jets. So,
Woody Johnson, owner of the Jets, at this press conference said that Aaron Glenn will decide on whether or not they keep Aaron Rodgers, not Woody Johnson. Glenn's also not going to call defensive plays, but bringing it back to Aaron Rodgers, there was a fun exchange between Aaron Glenn and New York media. Because people kept on asking him about Aaron Rodgers over and over again, the same question. Here's how Aaron Glenn handled that.
Will Aaron Rodgers be your quarterback?
You're going to continue to ask me the same question. I'm going to get the same answer. We're still in evaluation mode. So for anybody else going to ask that, we'll give you the same answer. So don't waste your time. Be clear.
Well, let's answer the, what do you look for in a quarterback? Like, what's an Aaron Glenn quarterback?
A winner. A winner. Mental and physical toughness. When you talk about that process, you're not going to get me.
You're not going to get me at the end.
I like that. That's a win for Aaron Glenn and dealing with the New York media, who is often the most insufferable people in sports media.
Speaking of Jake Haspin, who we love. We love Jake. Joe didn't confirm that. I like Jake. Jake's a good guy.
I like Jake.
Jake, who used to host the Wheelhouse here, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. He does a Jets YouTube show. Has a lot of followers on YouTube. He's done a very good job building that community. But the man is attempting to rob his fan base blind. He has put out some of the worst shirts I have ever seen in my life. And he is trying to pawn these on these hopeless crack addicts who are still somehow, some way, addicted to the loserdom that is New York Jets football.
When's your birthday, Paul?
April.
I have never been born in my life, and I'm not going to answer that because I do not want one of these.
You can go into HRMP and find it.
Listen, that would be a funny.
I know I can.
It'd be a funny gift. It would be a funny gift. It is. Honestly, it is the worst shirt. It is the worst shirt I've ever seen. No, because that's just going to enable Jake to continue to pawn literally low grade crap.
They're $30.
They're $30.
I was, if this was going to cost me $60 before shipping, I might have bought one for each of us. Get each color taken care of. We can all wear them one day. $30?
Sean, get it ready. Sean, please get it ready. For fuck's sake, Jake. These are some of the worst shirts I've ever seen.
Can you text them if we can get a discount?
$30?
When do they go on sale?
You are robbing your hopeless crack addict fans blind, Jake. Good God.
You want green, black, or white, or gray?
I want the green one.
It's a silhouette of Aaron Glenn, and then the caption underneath says, "Built for this." Jake, Jesus Christ, dude. Like, you are stealing from families. Poor families who, for some reason, on Sunday, spend their time watching these effing losers.
I just put the link in the Twitch chat if anyone wants to check it out.
We're built for this.
I like that Jets fans live in misery, but this is a step too far, Jake. This is a step too far. This is a crime. Shame on you.
I mean, look, man, if you can steal from suckers, you steal from suckers. Like, that's the New York way.
An absolute
Or the
crime.
Jersey way, whatever you want to call
anyway,
it.
Anyway, we wish Jake well. We do.
But if you buy one of those t-shirts, I don't wish you well.
No, I hope I hope he sells three of them and makes $100.
Yeah, don't do it, Joe.
Unless we can charge it to the company, then maybe.
No, that's definitely not going to happen.
Definitely think that's going to be
That is going to be X-Nade.
But maybe we could get, like, Swarm t-shirts. Let's say ESPN 97.5, Swarm.
Unbelievable. I hope that was a troll attempt. That is the worst thing I've... And there's a lot of bad t-shirts out there. But, Jake, my God, dog.
It might be
twisted. I'll design something for you. I'm good with graphic design. I almost sold Believe t-shirts, and I had a better... I had a better look than that. Sheesh.
Just checking in here. Oh. They're still active on his website. But when you click the Let's Go Aaron Glenn Get Your Shirt Below tweet, it says this page doesn't exist. So I think he's deleted this.
Good.
Tweet.
Good.
Because he was getting roasted for it.
He should. Those are god awful. Like, I get it. You're trying to make a buck here or there, but like, you've already got a Patreon and a YouTube channel, dude. Like, stop robbing these poor, hopeless losers, okay? And they are losers. You're a Jets fan, you're a born loser.
But they're not hopeless. They have hope.
Guys, did you know that there's the Jake Asman Show dog bandanas?
No.
On his website?
No. How much do those run?
$14.99.
$14. Huh. Good God. This is these are rags. You're going to send these to Africa? You're going to send these to Africa? Jesus.
Oh, do they have Aaron Glenn dog bandanas?
No, it just says the Jake Asman Show right now. It honestly would be kind of ironic with the built for this, believe, give it to your dog.
I hope someone in the New York media asks Aaron Glenn about these god-awful shirts.
Do you want to cease and desist?
Aaron.
Famous YouTuber Jake Aspen.
Cease and desist these. He's using your words.
I'm just like looking through his website.
He's Joe and Paul, Sean behind the glass. Again, we wish Jake well. I need to call out crimes. When you are robbing hopeless crack addicts of a loser fan base, you know, like that's what you got to do. Someone's got to step in there. I'm there. I'm the DEA. Stepping in, shutting it down.
Stopping it.
Slapping the pipe out of their hand.
I want to go the opposite way. I want to encourage this. How do we encourage more of this?
What? More?
Ooh. I got it. The Twitchers keep asking to be made mods.
No.
For anyone that buys, I think he has 7 dogs, 7 of the dog bandanas and brings them to a remote and gives them to Joel Blank. And we get it on camera. You get to be a moderator on Twitch for a month. How about a week? A week. You buy one. For each dog, you get a day.
Joe, he's going to fight you now.
It'll be awesome.
You're saying buy Joel a Jake Asman
dog
bandana.
Dog bandana. One for each dog. I think it's 7 dogs.
Was it to imply that you think that Joel is a dog?
Yes. No, for his dogs. But you must come to a remote. Golf tournament coming up March 4th. More details to come later. Perfect day to do it. If you give it to him and we get it on video of him opening this box, you get to be a Twitch mod for 7 days. Just here for the content. Even if it's for my personal selfish content.
Yeah, that's just like, I used to, you know, we talked about.
I think it'll be funny.
As someone who went viral for talking about an ex who won't stop talking about the person she's no longer dating, like. Joe, it's been a year, dude.
Yeah. Oh, is Joe the Joe Travis Kelce's ex? No, I think
Joe is Jordana Taylor, Travis Kelce's ex.
No, that's not true. I support my team. We're all still on the same team. I just think this would be a funny moment.
It would be, but...
You guys laughed.
Yeah, we did. I mean, I'm not saying it wouldn't be funny. I just don't know if it's maybe the right move, if you will.
We'll find out. None of them will actually do it, so...
Do you want to do a quick episode of Playing with the Boys?
Yeah.
Let's just play some of the audio from this press conference. Goodness gracious. But first, we need to have the amazing song that we play whenever we talk about the Dallas Cowboys for ratings.
I want me some glory hope.
Prescott, he starts to come and then he pulls out.
How about this Cowboy?
Jerry did it again.
Yeah, we need a new intro.
Nah, we're saving this. We don't need him to say it, glory hole again, because we just know this is a reference that Jerry Jones constantly brings up. It's from an oil and gas term. But a lot of people have a different connotation with it. Here's Jerry Jones talking about glory holes again.
There's a very low percentage of this that is smiles and glory holes. Very low percentage.
So, for those who know, a glory hole...
Did you look this up? What is a glory hole?
The sad thing is, I thought I would find the answer right away. Nope.
There's other definitions that are coming
there's
to the top.
A lot of initial responses that are coming up on Google are not.
What was the AI thing?
You know what's sad? Like even the landman, it's like landman porn. If you look up glory hole landman term. Glory hole oil and gas. I want to explain it. I thought I was going to be able to by Googling it. But sadly, again, the Google search is literally showing things that are blocked. A glory hole, in the context of the offshore petroleum industry, is an excavation into the seafloor designed to protect the wellhead equipment installed at the surface of a petroleum well from icebergs or pack ice. It's an economically attractive alternative for exploiting offshore petroleum resources like a floating platform. So, yeah, there you go, guys. It's ice.
All at the glory holes for Jerry.
Yeah.
That's all he cares about. It's like, does anyone tell him how weird it sounds?
Obviously not.
I think he...
no one tells him anything.
I can't tell. Like, is he senile or does he know? Like,
he knows that everyone laughs at that.
Yeah. Like, is he trying to be a character? I think he's... I mean...
Yes.
I feel like he's acting more in his press conference yesterday and in this moment than he did on Landman, and he was incredible in Landman. He deserves an Oscar for supporting role. He's that good.
Maybe he needs to stick to that.
Cowboys fans are probably like that.
Jerry Jones also teared up when talking about hiring Brian Schottenheimer.
So I've seen it when I was a pup. I have a good background in the makeup of what a coach is. To think that you could make a decision in an interview and not have talked, if you didn't and hadn't ever communicated or had a visit, I wouldn't dare have had an interview unless I talked to many, many people.
Why is he tearing up?
I am confused, honestly.
He brought up a lot of the press conference. The qualifications for Brian Schottenheimer are essentially that he was always at the Senior Bowl. Although, I guess he can't be at the East-West Shrine game right now because he had the press conference the day that all began.
Yeah.
This is the East-West Shrine week, right?
Senior Bowl.
This is Senior Bowl week. Yeah. Last week was East-West Shrine Bowl.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah, I mean, it's just it was a strange press conference. And, like, that's probably the strangest moment. Like, just basically saying he can identify a coach, but he's crying and because he's talking. Weird. Just really strange yesterday.
We don't have time for it. There's another clip where he just goes on for a minute, and you can tell he's trying to talk himself into the idea of hiring Brian Schottenheimer as head coach. And it really is a reach.
Yeah.
Like, he said it's a major risk. We're taking a shot. Just to mention chat.
But he also said that, like, hiring, like, Ben Johnson's a bad idea. Like, hiring these young coaches who have no experience. He's like, well, we're hiring a veteran. Like, he's never been a head coach for
veteran
a reason.
Assistant.
But then think about, then again, like, his last hire. I mean, Mike McCarthy, I think people forget this, but part of the reason why I had no interest in talking to him as a Bears fan was because he sat next to Jerry Jones at his opening press conference, and he told the world that he lied to Jerry Jones about how much of the offense he had been watching and how much Dak Prescott film he had watched. Like, he admitted to lying in his interview. And everyone's just like, ha, ha, ha. And then you hire his offensive coordinator. Good luck, dude.
The Cowboys haven't hired the hottest coaching candidate since maybe Jimmy Johnson. Because think about after when they hired Barry Switzer. Switzer hadn't been a coach from 1988 through 1994 when they brought him aboard. And, of course, Switzer won a Super Bowl. And maybe Bill Parcells, but Parcells had been out of coaching for a little bit, too. He had stepped down with the New York Jets, I think, 2 years before. 3 years before, something like that, before he came back with the Cowboys in 03. And it's been, like, Wade Phillips, who I love, Wade, but he, Jerry, has not gone after the best, sexiest, sell your fan base on hope hire since they brought Jimmy Johnson away from the University of Miami while Miami was in the midst of becoming Miami.
Yeah, and I guess he's just, like, so spurned from that hiring and
which
departure.
Is insane because it led to, like, the greatest 2-year run of their history.
And what, it's like 40 years ago now, 35 years ago, whatever it is, like, and it still, like, just doesn't. For what? Like because he doesn't want to have someone challenge him? Like, that's what it feels like. It feels like it's an ego thing.
It does. It does really feel that way. Anyway, guys, it's Gallant and George. He's Joe. I'm Paul. We got Sean behind the glass. 713-780-3776 to call to text. Amen Thompson is a star. Not a future star. He is a star. And he shined on the brightest stage last night. We'll talk about that win over the Celtics last night. You want to get in on it? You can. Stick around. Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.